John Hankey is an independent documentary filmmaker. He teaches how history really unfolded and exposes conspiracies you didn't know existed. His films cover a wide array of topics, including the JFK assassination, the Rothschilds, October 7th, and Trump's failed assassination attempt. Put on your headphones, grab your tinfoil hat, and get ready to learn how the world really operates with John Hankey.
I would suggest that we now talk about Breakthrough. Well, and it's the culmination of 50 years. And one of the things that I learned is all the books are worthless. All the books written by my heroes are worthless because they didn't know anything and they believed stuff that they shouldn't have believed. And I started going to the government documents. Well, the government documents, you know, are not necessarily credible either. But in my experience, it turns out that there's a government document that they figure nobody is going to read. And if they do read it, they won't understand it. And if they do understand it, they won't know what it means. It turns out there's a lot of really, really just crazy important stuff. One of the things that happened is that Jim Garrison, we're going back to the beginning, the movie JFK, Jim Garrison, the Dallas district attorney, he was a district attorney. Well, if you're the district attorney, the police are your friends, right? They're the people that you rely upon for all of the information. And if you're a good district attorney, you come to understand, you know, some cops are crooked and some cops are not, and you know the difference and you know which is which and you know who you're going to call if you want something. And there was a guy in Dallas, Roger Craig, who had been deputy of the year, I believe, in 1962. But, you know, he was smart and hardworking, and he was in Dealey Plaza the day of the assassination standing around. And he runs over to the grassy knoll, and then he runs over to the book depository, and he goes up to the sixth floor, and he's there when they find a German Mauser, and he won't shut up about it. They didn't find Oswald's rifle. They found a German Mauser. And he saw a guy who matched the description of David Morales, who was the second highest ranking member of Operation 40, Operation Mongoose, the group of CIA anti-Castro Cuban operatives who were all in Dealey Plaza. Morales is the second highest ranking member. And this cop saw him being questioned by the police and he heard him speaking in Spanish. So he was pretending that he didn't speak English. He was, as I said, the second highest ranking member of Operation 40. And the cop also then saw him driving Payne, Dorothy Payne, I forget, Helen Payne. Do you remember the Paynes? Marina Oswald was staying with a family in, not in Dallas. Was it in Dallas? It was just outside of Dallas, called the Paynes. And they're CIA connected up the wazoo. And Morales was driving the station wagon and he stopped and whistled, or Oswald whistled and ran over and got into the station wagon and drove off with Morales. So he's a very major figure and he's seeing all and sorts of stuff and he ends up getting fired, and then Garrison hires him. Because one, Craig needs a job and Garrison needs help. And Garrison, you remember the story I don't know if I said this, Stephen Jones, the guy who was looking at the physics of the collapse of the building, and then he woke up one day and he said, wait a minute, I'm an expert in analyzing materials. Let me use my expertise. It took him maybe even a couple of years, but at least a year before he remembered what it was that he was an expert in. Well, Garrison thinks to himself, well, he knows Roger Craig, and Roger Craig is a solid guy. And he thinks, you know, they probably, Dallas is full of competent police, and Dealey Plaza was full of competent police. They probably arrested the shooters. And he writes to the Dallas police or calls them and says, hey, send me the arrest records of everybody who got arrested that day. And they tell him, nobody got arrested that day in Dealey Plaza. And Garrison doesn't believe it, but he tells Roger Craig, go talk to you all your friends. And one of the guys is more than his friend. It's his uncle, from what I understand. The guy's name is Vaughn. Anyhow, and ask them if they arrested anybody. I mean, right, you were there and you saw the Oswald in a station wagon with a Rambler. Well, you talk to the rest of these guys and, you know, we're, for the first time in my career, I'm going to regard the police department as the enemy and we're going to come at it from the bottom up. And so Roger Craig talks to his uncle, and his uncle describes how he's a detective. Well, you know, you don't become a detective by being an idiot. You become a detective by being a very, very competent foot cop. And right, if you're writing reports that contain the information that ends up convicting the guy, the DA figures that out. Right? He sees right over a period of time, he sees 20 police reports that all have the information that you used to put the guy in jail. You call up the police and say, make that guy a detective. I want him, right? I don't want him just on the scene. I want him on the scene as a detective anyway. So Vaughn is in Dealey Plaza and he's in front of the Daltex building, which is down from, if you shot a bullet from where Kennedy's limousine was, it would go past the book depository and it would hit the Daltex building. So there are windows in the Daltex building that have a view of Elm Street and the grassy knoll and Kennedy's limousine. And this cop, this detective, was standing in front of this building, or he was walking past it, and the crowd yelled at him, rah, 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 and he goes over and they say, we grabbed this guy. We heard shots coming from that window and we grabbed this guy, and look at him. He looks guilty as hell. And so Vaughn says, yeah, he looks guilty as hell. And he takes him and he walks him across the street where there's a police station. And on their way across the street, Vaughn tells Craig, the guy, he says, so what are you doing in Dallas? He says, oh, I'm an independent oil man from Houston. We already have established that Bush's CIA cover was that he was an independent oil man from Houston and that he was in Dallas speaking at the Sheraton the night before, and he told Kitchell that he was spending the night of. And so there's, it seems that, I mean, I don't know, if I was on the jury, would I convict him? Oh, hell yeah. If I watched my first two movies and then saw this particular piece of information and knew that he went on to become appointed the head, for no particular reason, he became appointed the Nixon's ambassador to the United Nations, and then he became Ford's head of the CIA, and then he became president. I'm sorry, Reagan's vice president, from which he ran Iran-Contra. And oh my God, if people have figured out that they need to pick up a pen at this point, write down Kill the Messenger. Gary Webb was a reporter for the San Jose Mercury News who wrote a multi-issue expose of how the CIA was responsible for every grain of cocaine that came into the country. And Freeway Ricky Ross was getting all of his cocaine, and he sold tons of it in Los Angeles per week, millions of dollars. And he got it all from a guy named Danilo Blandone, who was verifiable, a CIA operative inside the anti-Sandinista Nicaraguan freedom fighter terrorist movement. He's a CIA operative, and then you, all of this stuff. He proved that Bush was and Oliver North were supervising the importation of all of the crack that ended up being such a, geez Louise. I mean, I was teaching in Watts while the crack epidemic was going on, and it was a horror show. And Bush Sr. was responsible for all of that. So if you want to tell me that he was one of the shooters, well, you can verify 14 shots were fired at Kennedy, many of them from behind. And the evidence suggests that every one of the shots from behind missed. Many of them, which is probably 10 of them, were from behind. Those are the ones that you can prove, right? There's a bullet hole in the windshield. There's a bullet dent in the metal strip going over the windshield. And all of this is in Dark Legacy, by the way. But so, yes, I'd convict him. Okay, so Bush was the head. He was one of the three heads of Operation 40, all of whom worked for Lansdale. So I can't believe that this, anyway, this must be the second thing that knocked your socks off. But anyhow, what appears to be the case, the guy Lee Bowers was working in the railroad yard. He was up in the tower in the railroad yard directing traffic. And he's the guy who stopped the train that was trying to leave the railroad yard and go to Waco. And he stopped the train and the cops got to it and they emptied the train. And E. Howard Hunt was one of the people on that train. Well, E. Howard Hunt got photographed being walked to the police station, and his son says, "That's my dad." Well, that's a pretty good ID. What's the guy's name? Anyway, 3M has a company that specializes in photo analysis, and they said that was E. Howard Hunt. Anyway, there's a wealth of other information. He was the one guy that you can point to who was a sniper. During World War II, he was a sniper. Nixon told the FBI, "You have to stop investigating Hunt because you will." Haldeman says that he said he told the FBI, "You have to stop investigating Hunt because you will uncover the whole Kennedy assassination thing." Haldeman, Nixon's chief of staff, that's a pretty solid witness, right, to what the relationship was between Hunt and Nixon. Well, if Nixon said that Hunt was involved in the Kennedy assassination, there's a pretty, and 3M says that's him in that picture of the guy who's sewer behind the grassy knoll, and Hunt's son says that that was him. That's some pretty considerable evidence that Hunt was the grassy knoll shooter. There are photographs of a guy being arrested who looks just exactly like Ted Shackley, who was the number three guy. There are three guys running Operation Mongoose / Operation 40, and they all answered to Lansdale. Lansdale is made famous by a movie called The Quiet American. And if I tell you, write that down and watch that movie. Lansdale was a CIA agent in Vietnam who blew up cars in the marketplace, the marketplace in Vietnam, killing hundreds of people, well, killing over 100 people and, you know, massively, horribly wounding many, many, many others. And he was the guy who did it. Anyway, and so David Morales, who we described as having been seen by Roger Craig, the cop of the year, saw him being by the grassy knoll, by the Daltex building, by the school book depository. Apparently he had been in there and exited and got arrested. In addition to which, there are witnesses who said somebody who fits his description was in the window firing a rifle. He worked for Ted Shackley, but Ted Shackley looks exactly like a guy who somebody else found this for me. Somebody else found it, by the way, found Roger Craig saying that his uncle said that the guy that he arrested as a shooter told him that he was an independent oil operative from Houston. I've had an enormous amount of help from, you know, a huge community of observers and researchers. Ted Shackley is in the National Geographic, has a disc of, you know, just random footage, and he's in it being arrested, coming out of the book depository by the police. Well, it's either him or it's his exact double. And for my money, I don't care. Hunt has an exact double standing on the meridian, the grass meridian strip, so that he can say, oh, no, that wasn't me. See, that's me standing on the meridian strip. And Bush has, and I didn't think he was an exact double, but there are many, many people who point to a figure standing in front of the book depository an hour after the assassination, and they think it looks like Bush. And I'll take their word for it. But that wasn't him. He was the guy who was in the police station. And Garrison describes him being escorted out the back of the police station and put into a car, a police car, with a jeering crowd yelling at him, and then driving away into obscurity, oblivion might be the word. Anyhow, so who do we got? We have Morales and Bush and all of these guys and Bissell. All of these guys worked for Bissell. And Bissell worked for Averill Harriman, the richest guy in the country. Averill Harriman received the largest inheritance in the history of the United States. I read that somewhere. Hunt had a trial. He wasn't being tried. I could go into lots of really interesting detail, but the Jesus Angleton, who was the head of counterintelligence, had hired Oswald to try to help him find Russian defectors living in the United States, but who were spies for Russia. And so everyone has always wondered, why the hell did George de Morenschild, a known CIA operative, escort, he's a millionaire, escort a minimum wage flunky, Lee Harvey Oswald, around the Russian defector community in Dallas, which is, there's a major Russian group of Russian defectors in Dallas. Why was he doing that? Because Angleton told him to, and Angleton, it came out that Angleton has a file with Oswald's name on it. Well, Oswald worked for Angleton in that capacity. I mean, all the dots just line up so completely, and then with no other explanation, right? I mean, Mark Lane and Garrison and the best of the best could never come up with a remotely good explanation for why de Morenschild was rubbing shoulders so intimately with Oswald. Anyhow, arguably the leader in Dealey Plaza. I mean, it wasn't Bush who showed up in the motel. It was Hunt who showed up in the motel passing out maps and money. Hunt's the grassy knoll assassin. He's the guy who blew Kennedy's brains out. So, you know, you could call him the leader for that. They didn't entrust that in that situation. You can't wound Kennedy and have him leave Dealey Plaza alive. You see what I'm saying? If Kennedy's wounded, he's got to be dead. And so, well, here's a showstopper. The video is called Breakthrough because it has several breakthroughs in it. And I'm going to run through them quickly if I can. The first one is that I have a friend named James Galbraith, who's a big shot professor at the University of Texas in Austin. And they declassified 200,000 JFK documents, and the guy in charge of reviewing them, the scholar in charge of reviewing them, they hand him 200,000 documents. What's he going to do? Well, he calls up all of his most reliable friends and says, can you take a box of documents for me and be responsible for going through them? And Galbraith says, okay, and he gets one, and he finds the memo signed by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to all the other members of the chiefs of staff, saying the president has decided we're going to be out of Vietnam by 65. That's Mr. X, right? That's what Mr. X says, that he wrote the memo that Maxwell Taylor had read, and then in fact had Maxwell Taylor's name on it. And Mr. X says in the movie that he wrote the memo and they put McNamara's name on it and they put Maxwell Taylor's name on it. And his name is Fletcher Prouty, Prouty. He's written a couple of books. And if you really want to know about this stuff, the deep state and whatnot. You can't do better than reading Fletcher Prouty anyway. So there's this document, and James Galbraith found it, that says that Mr. X was telling the truth, that his characters absolutely 100% corroborated, that the most controversial character in the movie JFK is completely corrupt, saying that JFK had given the order, everybody out by the end of 65. And if anybody objects, tell them, you know, what Kennedy's response is, well, you know, if you need another week or day or a month, that's not a problem. But you start today taking the steps that you need to take to be ready. You do everything you can, and, you know, we'll watch you, and you're either doing it or you're not anyhow. So that's one breakthrough, is that we found that document that corroborates Kennedy's decision. The second thing is that the Zapruder film, it turns out, is a hoax. That is to say, the four motorcycle cops have all said in some considerable detail that the limousine stopped in front of the grassy knoll. One of them describes how one of the cops got off his motorcycle and walked between Kennedy's limousine and the Secret Service limousine. Well, how many seconds did the limousine stop if that happened? Senator Yarborough, who was a liberal Democratic senator, and he's riding with Lyndon Johnson right behind the Secret Service limousine, so he's probably 30 feet more or less behind Kennedy. He probably gets, with today's technology, they would have found microparticles of the bloody mist from Kennedy's head that Yarborough and the members of his group drove through. But Yarborough says, and he wrote an angry letter to the Warren Commission. It's in the Warren Commission documents. It's in the Warren Commission documents signed by the senator, saying that the limousine stopped for 6 seconds in front of the grassy knoll. The mayor's wife is in a car ahead of Kennedy. She says that the limousine stopped. The two most famous witnesses from the assassination, Gene Hill on one side and Malcolm Summers on the other side. Tell me I have Alzheimer's. I'm impressed that I'm coming up with all of this stuff. They all said that the limousine stopped. Everybody said that the limousine stopped. And if you look at the Zapruder film, the limousine doesn't slow down one speck. And, you know, I counted the frames, and right, if it's running at 15 frames a second, you should, and you look at how many feet it goes, you should be able to calculate the speed. And I think it was 15 miles an hour that I calculated. And it doesn't matter, because it's a fraud. And it's a magnificent, oh my goodness, what a tribute to the skill of the professionals who perpetrated that fraud, that if Garrison knew about it, he never said a word. And if Mark Lane knew about it, he never said a word. And no researcher of any repute ever said a word. And there are people who said it, but they couldn't begin to come up with a reason. Well, they said that the Zapruder film had been altered, and they couldn't say what had been left out and what the alteration was, and they couldn't give a reason as to why. But now you can, you know, I'm sorry. There are at least three reporters, four if you count Walter Cronkite. Walter Cronkite reported that the limousine stopped because one of the reporters told him that the limousine stopped and that the Secret Service got out of their limousine and went into the crowd. Well, how long did that take? Well, it took more than a second, didn't it? Anyhow, so some highfalutin stuff going on. I'm sorry. That's a breakthrough. The fact that I can, I'm going to rewind back to, I was talking about Hunt and Bush and Morales and so on, all these guys who all worked for, well, Bush's father was the number one chief assistant to Harriman, who employed Bissell, who employed everybody else. Hunt was Harriman's press secretary immediately after World War II, while they were smuggling all of the leaders of the Nazi, of the Holocaust. All of the leaders of the Holocaust got smuggled out of Europe during World War II. Are people paying attention? Because I need you to get that the deep state, of course, did the Holocaust and, of course, protected the leaders of the Holocaust, which is why Eichmann got out and any number of others got out. And they all worked for Harriman. And I hope people know who Jim Mars are. All praise and glory. And Jim Mars, at the beginning of JFK, you'll see Jim Mars' name, that the movie JFK is based on research done by Jim Mars. And Mars became a very good friend of mine, and he told me, look into Harriman. Look into Brown Brothers Harriman. So I look into Brown Brothers Harriman, and we had this discussion earlier on, but I'll mention it now in case it gets broken apart, that Brown Brothers Harriman was taken over by the Rothschilds in 1830-something. It was taken over by the Bank of England, but the Bank of England had been taken over by the Rothschilds in 1825. And so you remember that the guys perpetrating the genocide in Gaza are owned and operated by the Rothschilds. Israel is a Rothschild, completely owned and operated function. The United States, the Rothschilds are AIPAC, and everybody knows that AIPAC is enormously powerful, and the Rothschilds are the media, right? That every media organization is controlled. I think your audience probably knows that, right? And you're never going to hear a word of truth about 9/11 on any major media outlet. You're never going to hear a word of truth about the Kennedy assassination from any major media outlet. They didn't even recognize that November 22nd came and went. As far as they're concerned, the Kennedy assassination is dead and buried. Anyway, so Brown Brothers Harriman was taken over. Harriman is owned by Brown Brothers. He's a minor partner, right? He gets third listing. I could go on for a considerable length of time. Harriman almost went to jail on behalf of Brown Brothers Harriman for supporting the Nazis. His bank, Union Bank of New York, was seized in 1942 by J. Edgar Hoover as a Nazi asset. Well, remember that. The next time you hear somebody saying bad stuff about Hoover, remember that he wrote the memo that named George Bush, and remember that he seized Harriman's bank in 1942. So just remember that. And I don't want to put myself in the position, really, I don't want to put myself in the position of defending Hoover, but there are things that Hoover did that are hugely significant. And I'm open to the suggestion that everything bad that you ever heard about Hoover is a lie. I'm open to that suggestion. It may not be, but as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't trust it until I had researched it down to the finest detail. Anyway, this is my legacy, right? The breakthrough is my legacy. I feel like it's my major accomplishment. I would really appreciate if the people in your audience would. It's on my YouTube channel. If you put in Hanke and Breakthrough, you will find it. You might find it other places. Of course, that's not going to be on Netflix or on Prime. It'll never come up in a search that doesn't have my name and the name of the, if you type in Kennedy assassination, you and Harriman, you're not going to, or Kennedy assassination and Bush, you are not going to find this video.
Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.